Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We have come to the question of divorce in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 because the Corinthian church had forwarded questions about divorce to the Apostle Paul. In fact, they had forwarded to him a number of questions under the general heading of marriage, and I don't know how many questions altogether there were, but there are quite a few of them. And Paul sorted them all out and put them all together and answered them all in this chapter, this long chapter, on the subject of marriage. And after having dealt with other questions in the first 9 verses, he comes in verse 10 to the question of divorce. And initially, he addresses the matter of divorce among a Christian couple, or with a Christian couple, two believers married to one another. And we've been dealing with that one, and we'll come back to that in a moment. But then, in verses 11 through or rather 12 through 16, he deals with the question of divorce among mixed marriages where one is a believer and one is not. And there he has a little bit different answer, interestingly. We'll look at that when we get to it. But we realize that this isn't a one-answer-fits-all situation, as some people make it. They put everything into a straitjacket and they say, this is it, period, for every situation, end of subject. But that's not the way Paul treats it. And he deals with Christian couples first in verses 10 and 11, and then mixed couples in verses 12 through 16. So we will return first to the Christian couple question and answer and finish that up first, and then we'll move on to the mixed marriage question as we gather around the Word of God on this Wednesday, September 29. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for remembering our need of your financial help in order to carry on this ministry on this station. All right, here's what Paul says. Answering questions about divorce, he begins with Christian marriages. Now to the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. And Paul makes it clear that this teaching that he's giving to them is actually a reiteration of the teaching that Christ gave to the Jews in his day. But of course, the Corinthians weren't there when Christ taught these same things in answer to questions that were given to him by the Pharisees, and presumably they would have no way of knowing. The Gospels had not been written yet, certainly hadn't been circulated as far as Corinth, and so they didn't have this information. But Paul says, this is what Christ taught, and I'm simply giving you what he taught publicly, and many people heard him teach this. And what did he teach? He taught Christians are not, and Jesus, of course, didn't use the word Christian, but he was talking about the same thing in the Jewish context, where this was not a mixed marriage, this was not a Jew and a Gentile, he's talking about Jewish marriages where both claim to be believers, both claim to be sons and daughters of Jehovah, and members of the covenant. And Jesus taught no divorce except in the case of adultery. Marriage is established by God to be permanent. Divorce, if it's followed by remarriage, is adultery. Adultery committed is the only thing that allows divorce. And so Paul's instructions to married believers are the same as Christ's instruction to married believers: do not divorce. And if you do separate, and that could mean divorce, you have two options: remain married or be reconciled. Remain unmarried, I should say, or be reconciled. I've known a few occasions of that where actually Christian couples were divorced, legally and officially divorced, and then later reconciled and remarried. Oh, what a happy situation. Oh, how rare that is. Oh, what a testimony to the grace of God. Oh, what a testimony to God working powerfully within those hearts to restore that marriage. But the command is, don't divorce. But if you can't live together to the extent that you must be separated, and that could also include divorce, you've got two options: remain unmarried for the rest of your life, or until your spouse dies, or be reconciled to your spouse. And therefore, the teaching of Christ and the teaching of Paul to Christian believers, where husband and wife are both Christians, is the only basis for Christians to divorce with the possibility of remarriage, is adultery. If your spouse is sexually unfaithful, you are permitted to divorce, and in that situation, you are permitted to remarry. In that situation, if you remarry, you haven't committed adultery. Thus, the words of Jesus in Matthew 5 and Matthew 19, thus the words of Paul here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, another interesting point before we move on is to notice the equality of husband and wife in these instructions. I pointed that out in the earlier section, the first few verses of the chapter, where there is a equality there in regard to conjugal relationships, and the instructions and requirements are the same for each. There's no inequality in that relationship. The husband doesn't have a greater claim in that relationship than the wife. And likewise, in this area of divorce and remarriage, a wife is not to depart from her husband or divorce her husband. But even if she does, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. There are some things in which the relationship between husband and wife is what we would call across-the-board equality. No difference between them in certain areas. But that does not negate. It's amazing how people will pick up on something like that and say, see there, this whole business about the husband being the head of the wife and the wife being required to submit to her husband is a bunch of nonsense, because look at this. No, it's not a bunch of nonsense. It's still the prevailing position, but it's not the absolute position that some people make it. It has restrictions. It has curbs on it. It has God-given areas where the wife is given a great deal of authority in the marriage, and that needs to be recognized. Now, we move on to the second category, divorce in mixed marriages, verse 12. But to the rest. But to the rest. First to the married I command, but now to the rest, I, and this puzzling phrase, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her, but, I must read this, and a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he's willing to live with her, let her not divorce him, 4, verse 14, the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. Wow, there's a lot here. Well, but to the rest, who's he addressing here? He's addressing mixed marriages. And what we have here are two people who, when they first got married, both of them were unbelievers, both of them were pagans, and one has now been converted. One has come to Christ and the other has not. And that is a category that has not been addressed. Jesus didn't deal with that one. But this raises questions, doesn't it? I'm married to an unbeliever. The Bible says you shouldn't be married to an unbeliever. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's a teaching. That's the Christian teaching for believers. And here I am married to an unbeliever, and it doesn't look like my spouse is going to ever become a Christian. Of course, you don't know that. And Paul deals with that here. But it's possible that a person would look at that as an excuse to put away their spouse. Or it's possible that a person could be perfectly willing to live with their unconverted spouse, but they don't know if that's the God-honoring thing to do. They've got questions that are unanswered here. And Paul says, in that situation, it pretty much depends upon the will of the unbeliever. That's interesting, isn't it? If the unbelieving wife is willing to live with her husband, let the husband not divorce her, not put her away. And likewise, here we go to the basic equality, if the husband of a believing wife is willing to live with his wife, let the wife not leave him, because there's no reason to. You don't leave them because they are an unbeliever. Yes, you're married in an unequal yoke. And no, that's not the ideal. And the instructions for Christians are they should never marry an unbeliever. That's clear, but this is a different situation. You were an unbeliever when you married an unbeliever. And so you entered into this marriage as two unbelievers, and now one of you is a believer. And there are a lot of situations like that. I've known a good many of them down through the years. We've had similar situations in our church, people who got married as unbelievers, and then the Lord saved one of them, and now what? And it can be very difficult. That unbeliever can make life really difficult for the believing spouse. They can make it difficult for them to come to church. They can resent their coming to church. Should I continue to attend church? And lots of questions arise here that aren't even dealt with in this passage, but what is dealt with is the question of divorce. Do you divorce in that situation? Is it more honoring to God to be removed legally from this marriage so that you're no longer married to an unbeliever and therefore would be presumably free to marry a believer, to get your marriage in proper order, biblically speaking, so that you don't have an unequal yoke? Is that what God desires? Is that what is most honoring to God, to get this marriage in a right relationship by getting rid of the unbeliever and marrying a believer? Nope. You can't do that, Christian. The verdict really lies in the hands of the unbeliever, interestingly. But Christian, you may not do that. You can't make that decision to put away your unbelieving spouse. Interesting. We'll come back to it, Lord willing, tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.